With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're going back to the Ben and Skin Show on 97.1 The Eagle.
Girl! Ben decided to stop turning his back on the listener on Thursday. He said he's going to come back then, but he just wanted at least three more days away from you people. And I don't know what he meant when he said you people, but he said it very emphatically. And he was pointing his finger in a guy's chest as he said it. But right now, it's time for this.
It's time to pop the top. Reach your hands in and grab a treat from Christina's cookie jar.
Now it's time to go inside Christina's cookie jar. Now it's time to go inside Christina's cookie jar.
Okay, so MTV turned 40, what, just yesterday?
What?
Yes, apparently.
Wow.
So I was 10 when MTV started.
And they were overshadowed by Lollapalooza on Hulu.
Yes, they were. But I did see it on Twitter. And I subscribed to ultimateclassicrock.com, surprise, surprise, and they sent an email. And it said, hey, in honor of MTV's 40th anniversary, here's 40 of rock's biggest moments on MTV.
Okay, cool.
I was like, okay, this is great. And I looked through it, and it's cool. And I got audio to go with this, and it goes in chronological order.
Oh, okay.
So the very first thing on here is MTV's debut, and I have audio of that. So, Skin, do you remember any of that?
Well,
like
very
first.
I didn't have cable back then, but I very much know what the first song was.
Okay.
The first song was Video Killed the Radio Star.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is the band called the Farty Butts or something? There's some like gimmicky
Farty
band.
Butts.
They
only had
that's
one song.
That's all they
song.
Had, right?
Yeah. Do you have that song there?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't, but I have...
The Buggles.
The Buggles.
What was just before it, which was this.
T-minus 10,
yes.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. We've gone for main engine start. We have main engine start.
Do you guys remember the initial iconography of MTV?
They're on the moon, right?
Rock and roll.
Yes. It's an astronaut planting a flag, and then on the flag it says MTV.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And that's, of course...
Which they replay this, and that's why they have the moon man, right? When they give it out at
Yes, that's
MTV
why
Awards.
The award is the moon man. You're absolutely
yes.
right.
Or the astronaut.
So,
well, they call him Moon Man.
Oh, they call him Moon Man.
That's what I think they call those awards yep. Moonies or something.
Do you know what the second video was?
Like that. What was it?
I don't know the song, but I know it was Pat Benatar.
Did Pat Benatar really have a song back then?
Yes.
Okay.
1981?
She was the second video on MTV.
I did not know that. But
I saw that on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, in 1981, it probably would have been Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
I don't think it was that. I think it was something I've never heard of.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean
so back then there were some videos, but there wasn't a video channel.
Yeah.
It says it right here. Sorry, yeah.
What is it?
The Buggles, but it doesn't say anything about a...
The Buggles.
Does it say
Pat
what...
Benatar.
Okay.
Yeah, I just saw it on Twitter yesterday. She followed that up.
Okay.
Okay.
With her husband, Neil Girardo, playing guitar and writing all that
did
stuff.
Did all that time at Fox News and seeing... he was covering
different
all the
guy, but then they had a daughter that was selling tequila, and I think Shippy's friends with her.
Oh.
Seriously.
It's full
weird?
Circle here.
Yeah, I believe it.
All right, so that's August of 81 MTV debuts. And then that Christmas, Billy Squire leads an MTV holiday sing-along.
Stroke!
No, but it's pretty cheesy.
Billy Squire, on behalf of myself and everyone here at MTV, I'd like to wish you all a happy holiday season.
They try to sing along, and no one... Anyway, so he's like playing an acoustic in front of this crowd who's trying to sing along, but they have no idea what they're singing, apparently.
Can you guys name name the original five VJs?
Kurt Loder.
Nope.
Damn.
I think at that time he was probably writing at Rolling Stone or something. Mm-hmm. He was more of like a mid to late 80s when they added MTV
Mark
News.
Mark Goodman.
Yes, Mark Goodman, who is still on Sirius XM on their 80s channel, I believe.
Oh, good for him.
I think.
Where'd he go, Mark?
Martha Quinn.
Martha Quinn was the cute little dark-haired gal, and she was...
She intro'd that, by the way.
Oh, Martha Quinn, yeah. Thing. She was kind of like a smaller kind of hip gal to balance out the wild, sexy metal gal whose name was Nina Blackwood.
Yes. Bob Pittman?
Bob Pittman is our boss, and he ran MTV for a while. And then there was, is it Alan...
Hunter?
Hunter.
Yes.
I was about to say Alan Hale, who was Gilligan's Island.
That's the skipper on Gilligan's Island.
Alan Hunter kind of like had shoulder-length blonde hair, and he sort of looked like he worked at a library. And then there was a black dude named... Is it DJ or...
Close.
God, what was that guy's name?
Very, very close, as in just a letter off.
Oh, CJ Party Butt.
JJ Jackson.
JJ.
Schwarzenegger.
I had that all written down. So
Schwarzenegger used to throw it to him. He'd go, hey, JJ.
Okay.
And hand it off to him.
Number three, this happened September 18th of 1983. This was huge.
Okay, oh, I know it. Michael Jackson did the moonwalk. No.
No.
Oh.
This has to do with Kiss. Does that ring a bell now?
Oh, they went without their makeup.
They unmasked themselves.
Oh, wow.
And I believe that album was called Unmasked, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
So they just,
no, look it up. It says...
Oh, ma'am.
Right?
You're saying they, like, during a performance or, like, just...
No, so I've got some of the audio here, but it's real awkward because they're all just sitting there, and it's, like, a very serious interview, and the guy introduces them by name, shows them with the makeup, and then goes to them without the makeup, and it's just... Like,
it was a big deal.
Huge thing.
But yeah, play it. Play it.
Welcome, you guys. This is amazing.
Hi, JJ.
Whoa.
Hi, JJ. How you doing?
No, it's so funny because just seeing you for the very first time after all this
That's
time,
JJ,
you know, we're honored
isn't it?
And we're really glad to have this exclusive. Yeah, for all of you guys, actually, this question, it would be interesting to get your response because I'm sure everyone in America wants to know, especially anybody who's been a Kiss fan, and there are many of those over all these years. Very first time out. How does it feel now without makeup appearing for the very first time?
It feels good. It feels, we've always been close to our fans. In fact, in a lot of the shows, we'd walk out into the crowd to sort of get a feel of what everybody was feeling like. And most often, they really wouldn't know it was us. So we've always felt closer, and I think it's time for them to sort of know us a little bit more. It feels very, very comfortable. I hope it seems that way. I feel fine about it.
No, I'm fine. After that, he looks at the camera, like makes a scary face, like a Kiss, you know, guy would do.
It's time for our audience to know that we do paint this on before each show.
Right? They're not British.
Our real people, just like
it's
you
just,
and I.
It's so funny looking back because we weren't alive during then, but they're making it so serious.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was a big deal.
It was so serious.
It was a big deal. And, you know, I think I've told you guys this. That was my first concert.
Yeah.
I saw Kiss when I was 10 years old. My mom drove me out to Fort Worth.
Was that the Lick It Up tour?
No, that was the Dynasty tour. And you had to go to Fort Worth because they wouldn't let pyrotechnics in Dallas city limits. So when they were shooting off fire and stuff, they couldn't do that in Dallas. You had to go to Will Rogers out in Fort Worth to go see him.
Now they only let him in Dallas city limits.
Yeah.
But it was a big... And they were trying to compete with all those metal bands that I was just playing for you guys.
That's great.
So they tried to become kind of more glam metal style as opposed to like 70s guys doing costumes and spitting up blood and all that kind of thing.
Right here it says their last-ditch publicity stunt.
Yes. To try to remain relevant.
Ooh,
Lick weird. It up.
Okay, so number four, and this made the rounds not too long ago. It's when David Bowie's on, and he calls them out for their lack of diversity. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you something, honestly. You know, all right. It occurred to me, having watched MTV over the last few months, that it's a solid enterprise, and it's got a lot going for it. I'm just floored by the fact that there's so few black artists featured on it. Why is that?
I think that we're trying to move in that direction. We want to play artists that seem to be doing music that fits into what we want to play for MTV.
What?
The company is thinking in terms of narrow casting.
That's evident. It's evident. The only few black artists that one does see are on about 2:30 in the morning or to around 6. Very few are featured predominantly during the day.
No, that's a...
I'll say that over the last couple of weeks, these things have been changing, but it's a slow process.
I love the girl in the background that's trying to help out. She's like, we do play him. We play him.
So shout out to David Bowie. Now, I believe he's talking to Mark Goodman there.
Yes.
The curly,
yes,
okay.
He is.
And so that's a really tough position for him to be in.
Yeah.
But he said the thing that is so not true, we're trying to narrow cast. No, you're not. You're not doing indie niche stuff. Get out of here. You're not narrow casting. No business going, all right, we want to make our audience really small. We're going to narrow cast. But he's in a tough position, you don't say.
That was very iconic, though.
Yeah.
Number 5 on this list, I'm not sure, I think this was an 84, and I don't know what this is. Beatles and David Bowie win the first ever Video Vanguard Award.
Okay, so Video Vanguard was the award they created, which was their version of a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Ah, so like a 401k situation.
No, that's a company that handles 401ks.
Ah.
The idea is that they are pioneers in making, you know, music videos, even though they didn't have this rich history.
Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Peabody Award or the...
Yeah, it's the Lifetime Achievement Award. And so they gave it to...
For music videos.
They gave it to the Beatles and David Bowie.
Yeah. Just to try to calm Bowie down after that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, here.
Yeah, make him happy. Give it to some more white guys, though.
This one's pretty cool. So they were doing a giveaway, and it was a weekend with Van Halen.
Oh, badass.
And
what year?
This was 1984.
So this is when Jump is a big thing. Yeah.
So 20-year-old Kurt Jeffries wins, and he goes, spends the weekend with them. Says he enjoys many drinks, pot, and even a little cocaine. It turns out he was in the hospital like a week before that for some injury and didn't tell him because he was like, I'm spending a weekend with Van Halen. You think I'm going to tell him I can't drink and do all this stuff?
You don't ruin the trip.
It's like, well, no, dude, you could have died.
Did he survive?
No, he survived. And that's like after the post interview, they asked him, you know, how it went and what all they did, and then he ended up telling them. So I probably shouldn't have done all that. I could have died. But
that's the whole thing where the paperwork kind of, where you don't read it, you sign your name and go, oh, I'm going to be doing drugs with Van Halen. I didn't see that on the documents.
Done!
Yeah, we didn't put it on there.
Have you guys seen all of Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Just
it's been a
some
long
of
time,
it. Yeah.
But yeah.
So I don't know if you know the bit at the end of it. The very end of the movie... Spicoli is involved in breaking up a robbery of a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, no. That's not what happened. What happened was, they put the characters and then they say what happened like they do at the end of Animal House.
Yeah.
So in the movie, Spicoli saves Brooke Shields from drowning and he blows his reward money on hiring Van Halen to play his birthday party. And so it very much reminds me of...
Yeah.
That whole
thing.
Because,
why wouldn't you?
Right.
It's Van Halen.
That's
so shout
out
to Kurt Jeffries.
That's why they probably did that stupid contest.
So then she broke her leg.
He's probably about 60 now if he's still alive.
No, he's dead.
Number 7. Dire Straits breaks ground with their computer animation for Money for Nothing videos.
Yes. I want my MTV.
Yeah, I just have the song. I don't have that video.
But have you seen the video?
Cool? No.
Well, the graphics at the time were not very good, but it looked like emojis moving. You know, but it was like a cartoon kind of thing that was kind of robotic. And in it, you know, I don't know if you guys have listened to the lyrics of this, which do not age well. Because they use the F word that rhymes with...
Interesting.
That's to describe a gay person.
They go full Matt Damon and Tom Brenneman on that thing.
Yeah. And so the
idea... Is that a foreshadow?
No,
but anyways, so they're the guys in the protagonists in the song. They're complaining that these rock and roll peas are getting rich doing nothing. It's like money for nothing and your chicks for free.
Mm-hmm.
These guys aren't working hard. So in the song, the guys are like, moving refrigerators and doing manual labor, complaining about these little Fs that are getting paid. And so there's cartoon characters portraying that.
Oh.
So there's this kind of like brutish guy that's balding that's complaining it's a cartoon character about what's happening in the song. And then, of course, the other thing, this was a big deal. This is a really good guitar tone, by the way, when it
No,
works
the
there.
Guitar tone's cool.
Turn it up.
Letting everyone know you mean business right here.
Yeah.
About to kick your ass in billiards. Oh, God.
But this kind of puts everything in the focus. Is this 1985?
It doesn't say, but
1984.
It should be around there. Maybe end of 1984, because the next one's January 1st of 85.
Yeah, okay, and so the other thing is that you have Sting singing the melody of their big hit, Don't Stand So Close to Me. He's singing that tune, but he's singing the lyrics, I Want My MTV, which was their slogan at the time. And I think I've told you guys this before. When this song comes out, I'm 14.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you heard my metal playlist. You guys know I like rap. You guys think I like the Dire Straits?
I doubt it.
No.
I don't think you do now.
This was like 45 and 50-year-old white guys programming music for teenagers. None of my friends were checking for Dire Straits.
Right.
We either liked metal or rap or some sort of new wave. And so all that music, when he says we're narrowcasting, they would stick that on the weekends. But, dude, they were running Dire Straits and Don Henley and Tina Turner. They were running that stuff out every hour on the hour. And it just didn't connect. But that was your only choice. You were going to watch MTV or nothing because there was no other choices.
It says they used a Bosch FGS 4000, also known as Paintbox, to do the graphics for that.
Okay.
Computer animation. Which
paint.
I imagine it's like paint back in the day.
It's MS Paint or whatever.
Yeah. That's funny.
So there's another thing that, now that you say that, that I guarantee you is going to be on this, and it's going to be the Godly and Cream video for Cry.
Hey.
Possibly. You'll
it's
going to
be on
out.
There.
I'm not sure you say that.
Listen and find out.
Okay, keep going, Kayra.
Okay, January 1st of 1985, VH1 launches.
Yes. Really? 85?
Yeah, that surprised me too.
And that's when someone said, hey, we're playing a lot of Don Henley, Tina Turner, and Dire Straits for teenagers. Maybe we should start another channel.
Yeah. And it looks like they played the exact same thing, basically.
Yeah, they started moving that stuff over, and then you start having the advent of Yo MTV Raps, Headbangers Ball, all that stuff. The countdown, the teen bands that were coming up, because you're about to get into the era where Backstreet Boys show up.
You lock in, you can specialize it now.
Yeah, and so they can take that older programming and move it over here, and then you can start representing teenagers.
Number 9 of 1985, this might be the first video that got banned. Twisted Sisters, Be Cruel to Your School was banned.
I don't remember this.
Sounds terrible.
It says, hold on. I forget what had parental advisory stickers on there. The Parents Music Resource Center.
Do you know who that is? The PMRC?
They said it wasn't okay because the zombie stuff was too scary. Even though Michael Jackson's had just hit and they were playing that all over the place, they said that was too scary.
So Twisted Sister was very much in the scope of PMRC. PMRC was started by a very famous person. You guys all at least know who her husband is. Her name was Tipper Gore. Her husband was Senator Al Gore.
Oh.
And she is the one responsible for putting stickers on records and for sexual content and violent content.
Violent, drug-related, or sexual themes.
Yep.
Tippa.
That's Kipper. That's a dog.
I was so confused.
But, Tipper Gore was Al Gore's wife.
So, yep, Be Cruel to Your School was banned.
Probably should have been banned. It doesn't sound good.
And you know,
they spelt it all weird, too.
I remember when I was just like, we're not gonna take it!
Number 10.
Yes.
No! July 13th of 1985. Do you know this?
No, I don't.
I'm just going to play the preview for this, the promo. Wait, hold on a second.
Amy Adams, Boomtown Rats, David Bowie.
Oh, this would be 13,
a billion people all over the planet will tune in to a music event that will never be repeated. The Live Aid Concert. Elton John. 17 hours of performers donating their time and energy to help raise funds for African famine relief. Allison Moya from Wembley Stadium in London.
This is what they're making fun of and Give Me to the Greek.
Yeah.
And it was started by Bob Geldof, who was in the band Boomtown Rats. And he's also
a Boomtown guy.
He's always a Boomtown guy. He's also in the movie The Wall. He's the one that shaves his eyebrows off.
Really?
But Bob Geldof started this, and it all started. I always forced this song on Kevin at Christmas time. Do They Know It's Christmas was the first thing that started this. I think that's the greatest Christmas song ever. It's so badass. And then, so they had people, I believe it was in Philadelphia, they had one stage. And then they had another stage in Wembley in the UK. And I remember frantically wanting to come back from family vacation so I could sit there and watch all these bands. Because it was U2. And they at the time, I loved U2.
Yeah.
Run DMC was on that stage. It was a really, really big deal.
I love those big event type things. It's much like we were talking about with Lollapalooza, but there's a thing on CNN at Central Park on August 21st, just a big COVID concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you'll have tons of artists on there you don't even care about.
Right.
But I just love those big time things where everyone's locked in. Everyone in the world's locked in on it. You know,
you guys saw the Queen movie.
Yeah.
That's the that's apex great. Of it. And so if you had told me, I would have thought Live Aid was like 83 or 84. Well, you're saying it's July of 85?
It says 85.
Okay.
I remember when they did Live 8 in 2005, 2006.
Yeah. Okay. U2 was there,
I was in high school. Yeah, it was U2.
Yeah.
The Killers played it. I mean, all those bands I was listening to in the indie rock world were playing it. I remember that was the first time I'd seen the Roots play.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is crazy.
At one point in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, they started a spinoff of this called Farm Aid. And I believe it was Willie Nelson and John Cougar Mellencamp were the main.
It's Willie, Neil Young, John Cougar Mellencamp, and the other chairman is Dave Matthews.
Oh, cool. To benefit the American farmer.
Farmers.
But I believe that started late 80s.
But it's always more like hokey acts and like more like acoustic driven than like a big show, you know?
I mean, our farmers definitely need it. And there's all this subsidy that goes on to grow certain crops, and it's a mess. But that was very much a, why are we helping people over there when we can be helping people here? And so, you know, Farm Aid started out of all that.
Do y'all want to do we're at 10 or 11?
Right at 10.
Do you want to get to 20 today?
Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah, because I'm having fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm really enjoying this, Christine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, coming up next, we'll get to, does this one go to 11?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back to the Ben and Skin Show on 97.1 The Eagle. The Rock of Dallas-Fort Worth.
Man, Ben had been hyping up Food Truck Palooza at Rollertown, and I went twice. I missed Saturday, but I did go Friday and Saturday. We had an ice cream truck there Friday and Sunday, and then we had Easy Slider is so rad. And then yesterday we had Cousin's Maine Lobster. Oh, my God, it was so good. And the beers go right there with it. Our head brewer, Tommy Miller, has rolled out a brand new Pilsner called American Boat Party, and I love it. I mean, I love just a crisp, clean Pilsner, mm-hmm. you know, just a good old American Pilsner. Yeah. Or Czech Pilsner. Those are great, too. But just that classic beer style is right up my alley, and I think Tommy absolutely nailed it. So come on out, get the Pils, get the Lobo Hombre, which is our great Mexican lager. We have several seltzer-based cocktails, and on Thursday of this week, we got two new joints dropping, and I'll be telling you about it throughout the week because it's National IPA Day. Yeah.
Oh.
So as you know, we're going to do it. Did you just stick that whole mic in your mouth?
Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard you gag.
Delta.
Delta's out there. Yeah, but it'll be National IPA Day on Thursday, and we will celebrate accordingly with two brand new IPAs. So keep your ear to the speaker for that. We are rocking out, though. We'll be back open on Wednesday. Roller Town is balls good. All right, let's hand it back over to Christina, who is taking us in honor of MTV's 40th anniversary, the 40 greatest moments in MTV history.
Yes, 40 greatest rock moments according to ultimateclassicrock.com.
The ultimate source for ultimate classic rock.
And we just left off number 10 in 1985, MTV broadcasted Live Aid. And March 10th of 1986, the first episode of 120 Minutes featuring alternative music videos.
Game
this
changer.
Sounds really cool.
You guys didn't, so was it not around?
I don't remember this.
I have
this.
No idea, but it says it started out for like underground artists, but then quickly earned a reputation for launching new artists. And the list of bands here is incredible.
So 120 Minutes would come on Sunday nights at 10 o'clock. And was this 1985?
It said 86.
Okay, 86. And so if you wanted to see a Smiths or a New Order or a Cure video, you were going to have to see it during 120 minutes. And I forget the name of the original host. It was a British guy. I think his name was Dave something or other.
Dave Holmes? Dave Holmes would be too young.
It was a British dude. But it was 120 minutes. It was mostly, you know, Brit pop of the time. A lot of the Manchester music. And then, of course, you know, Pixies. The first time I ever saw a Pixies video was on 120 minutes.
This is Dave Lane's favorite show, right?
Oh, absolutely. It is. And so back then, they didn't even call it indie rock. They call it college rock.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, if you wanted to hear music like this, it would be a college radio station that was playing it. That's how REM got really big. REM, because there was no such thing as alternative radio in 1986. So you would, you know, there would be college rock stations, mostly played by college students, would be playing music like REM, The Smiths, Echo and the Bunnymen, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, the Psychedelic Furs.
Psychedelic Furs, absolutely.
Other artists are Weezer. Weezer is actually on there. Oasis.
How long did they go?
Radiohead, Smashing Pumpkins.
How long was that show on the air?
It says lasted for more than a decade before going to MTV2 in 2001.
Oh, yeah, I do
so
remember
that's
that.
Not even...
But if it was Sunday nights at 10, then definitely wasn't getting it because I was, you know, sneaking off to my grandparents' house to watch MTV.
They probably moved it around. I'm just saying when it premiered.
Oh, yeah, okay, gotcha.
It was Sunday nights.
I would have loved it.
And, you know, one of the reasons it would come on Sunday nights, too, I forgot about this. They used to show a British comedy show called The Young Ones. Did you guys ever see that?
No.
I did not, Mike.
It was about these roommates, and each one of them was wildly different, so it's kind of like oddball comedy. And it was a British, you know, young people show, and so...
They touched on sexual themes?
I think you made it. I think you took it there. It was really just a British sitcom. And it was... But anyways, they were roommates. It was called The Young Ones, and so... 120 minutes would come on after that.
That's really cool.
Group their programming together. If you like The Young Ones, you may want to see an Echo and the Bunnymen video, you know.
Number 12 on this list.
Lips like sugar. Oh.
Apparently this is a very iconic moment.
Did this happen at the MTV Music Awards when they performed together? Or is it the premiere of this?
It just says this helps thrust rap rock into the mainstream.
So this is... You guys know the story on this?
You've told it before, but it's going to be hard to remember.
It's Rick Rubin is the man behind this.
Mm-hmm. Ah, classic.
So Rick Rubin produced their third album, Raising Hell. And, you know, back then... So the beginning of this song, of the Aerosmith song, it's open drums. And so that's how hip-hop drums came to be, is you'd take two copies of the same record and you would cut it back and forth so you had an extended drum break to rap over. And so the rapper dudes would never let the song play into the song. They would just play the drum because they didn't care about Aerosmith. They would just play the drums. And when Rick Rubin was explaining the way the song was, Run DMC, you're like, no way, that's corny. We're not doing that. And he was like, trust me. Do this. Just trust me. And then he took it one step further and brought Aerosmith in the studio, and they were washed.
Yeah.
Like, they were nobodies in 1985. They were done. And so Run DMC did not care who Aerosmith was, and then they actually got Joey Perry to retrack the guitar on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reason Aerosmith has a second career.
They came back, yeah.
They came back in a huge way, and in the video...
They never left.
Well,
until like 15 years ago.
Yeah, they reinvented them. Mm-hmm. And in the video, the reason it was a big deal is Run DMC and Aerosmith are in separate rooms and they're mad, then they're turning their music up. And so when Steven Tyler first sings Walk This Way, he bursts through the wall and he's singing it, and Run DMC standing there with their arms folded looking at him like, get out of here, white boy.
And he's the Kool-Aid man.
I remember this video.
And then by the end of it, they're on stage together and it's like, Look, rock and rap are the same thing. And it totally launched a style of music, quite frankly.
I mean, dude, they were putting that in the Super Bowl halftime show in 2002 or whatever.
Yeah. I remember being super young and seeing that. And I was like, wait, is that how that song goes? Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Crazy.
But it's the genius of Rick Rubin forcing those two things together.
Awesome. Number 13 says trio of original MTV VJs leave, which we went through all of those. But, I mean.
And that opens the door for the next generation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Loader time.
Woo-hoo.
So, does it mention on there when MTV News started?
I don't believe so.
Do you guys remember Tabitha Soren?
I need to see a picture.
Kurt Loder.
I remember Kurt Loder doing it, and I remember always being really annoyed when they would try to force MTV News on me.
Yeah. Kurt Loder and Tabitha Soren were the first two big names on MTV News. And then they also had the dude, Chris, what's that dude's name? Golly, I forgot that guy. Chris, whatever.
Is that the big, bald, fat guy?
No, that guy was part of the whole 120 Minutes thing. That was Matt.
Yoakam?
Matt, what was his name? He kind of talked like Frosty. He kind of had Frosty voice.
So he's perfect for this.
He was indie rock guy.
Yeah.
He was a bald guy named Matt something or other. Damn, I can't remember that guy. I mean, I can't remember his name.
The next important thing that happened, you want me to wait?
No.
Matt Pinfield.
Matt Pinfield. I was about to say Pinto, but that was the former Mavs play-by-play guy.
The next thing that happened, Skin.
Yes. Oh, Headbangers Ball.
Headbangers Ball premieres with Motorhead.
Wow, badass. Lemmy was on there.
This is April 18th, 1987.
Was it, what's his name, Ricky Rathman or Ricky, what was the name of the host?
That's a good question.
Ricky Rathman.
Does not say.
Can't remember his name.
But it did say Lemmy and Phil, Filthy Animal Taylor, co-hosted the very first episode.
So is it 85? 86?
87.
87, huh?
Yeah.
So I believe, wow, that's crazy. My mind is going crazy. I believe that they would do specials, metal specials, but then it wasn't a weekly show until it was Headbangers Ball. Is I think what the deal is.
Okay.
Welcome to Men and Skins Headbangers Balls, where they go around the rock. Rockaholics, strap on your cock pieces and prepare to rock. Take it away, boys and girls.
Oh, hey, Christina, did you get my DM requesting a foot pic?
No.
No, biggie.
Let's rock.
Badass.
Adults made that, too.
Yeah. Headbangers Ball, let's see, shifted to grunge in the 90s and got canceled in 95.
Yes. That whole style of music got canceled.
Next on the iconic 40 things.
Was that when Cobain killed himself? Is that what killed it? Or
No. Just grunge in general, because it went from dudes putting a lot of product in their hair and maybe wearing makeup to here's Kurt Cobain wearing, like, flannel. And like a baggy shirt and like, you know.
Like you said earlier, Backstreet Boys were starting around that time.
So. Yeah. Grunge killed metal. The one thing that kind of hung over was Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it may even be in there. Axl Rose and Kurt Cobain got in a fight at an MTV thing.
That is later on.
And that was very
spoiler,
much.
Spoiler, dude.
Yeah, that was very much like that. And Axl and those guys were bitter because grunge was shutting their scene down.
Number 15, MTV bands Motley Crue's You're All I Need. Do you remember this video at all?
No.
Apparently it's about a guy who kills a woman because she doesn't reciprocate his love. Reciprocate?
That sounds creepy.
Yeah, but Nikki Sixx defended it because he was like, you see more graphic stuff on the news every night. This is nothing. So I need to watch the video and see if it's actually...
So it got banned?
They banned it.
Okay.
They said it was too gruesome.
I don't know if they show it on the news.
That's got to be, though, that's still the lingering impact of the PMRC we were talking about earlier.
They sound fun.
Yeah.
16, MTV covers the Moscow Music Peace Festival.
God, I don't remember this.
I don't know what this is either. I've never heard of it.
Was Tattoo there?
No, but Bon Jovi, Ozzy, Motley Crue, Scorpion, Skid Row, and Cinderella.
Oh, Skid Row
all
is
there.
Going to be one of my 80s guesses.
And MTV. That's a
good one.
I'm good tucked
metal,
away.
Metal
That's
guess.
A good one.
Number 17, Neil Young wins Video of the Year for This Note's for You after it was banned.
God, why are these videos getting banned?
I don't know.
That was probably Budweiser that banned that. I think Budweiser was real mad because I believe, if I remember correctly, that song was a critique of commercialization.
It does say, yep, overtaking of advertisers in the industry.
Yes.
So MTV would not air the video.
So because they have advertisers that are paying them tons of money and they're not going to bite the hand that feeds.
Yep. And yep, Neil Young called them spineless twerps.
Yep.
number 18. Okay, so I didn't have this on video, but I have footage of the VMA nominations for this. Vince Neil apparently punched Izzy Stradlin in the face at a VMA, 1989 VMAs.
Okay.
But I want you guys to hear all the people who are nominated in this. Hold on, here it is.
Tour in over 2 years. They're here for you to present a brand new award here at the MTV Music Awards. This is Motley Crue.
How many people would cheer nowadays for Motley Crue coming out? They're what?
Depends on where you are.
Well now, this award is for the best heavy metal video.
Ooh, 1989.
Here we go.
And by the way, Jethro Tull is not nominated.
That's their production value. I remember I drove into a wall when I heard that.
Heavy metal, what? I never see you leaving by
the back door. Def Leppard, pour some sugar on me. Guns and Roses.
Hell yes. That song still slaps.
Metallica, one.
Pretty much the only band that's metal that he's out so far.
The band that's got the word metal in it.
Okay, and the winner is... All right, Guns N' Roses!
Okay, I got a question for you. What year is that?
This might be a different video, but...
89.
Well, when Vince Neil punched Izzy, it was in 1989 at the VMAs.
Okay, because I'm sitting here thinking, I think Appetite for Destruction came out in 1986 or 87.
That might be earlier.
But what I'm saying is, it was a slow burn for Guns N' Roses. They'd been out for a while. They got popular after about 7 or 8 months later after the record.
When a lot of award shows are in the early part of the year, looking back at last year's achievement. So if it happened in 89, mm-hmm. and that single, you know, is a big deal late 87 into 1988.
Right.
You could see why that would be
sure.
the year.
That Motley Crue had a video called Home Sweet Home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one where Tommy Lee plays piano with his dong.
Yeah. It's Hot Tub Time Machine.
Okay, that song was... So they had a thing where you could call in and vote for your favorite song.
Yeah.
That song was number one for about 4 straight months. I mean, every day I'd go home from school, and if I turned on MTV, Home Sweet Home, it was relentlessly everywhere. So they were so huge at that point. I mean, yeah. I just can't imagine.
Number one still in the hallways up here when they're playing 92.5.
This is true. Number 19, more Guns N' Roses. They performed with Tom Petty.
What?
This was just a weird pair-up that everyone was like, oh my God, what? They took the stage at the 89 VMAs for a rendition of Free Fallin'.
Oh.
And Tom Petty was like, wait, this isn't VH1?
This is Guns N' Roses.
Is Axl Rose going, what am I supposed to do with this? Solo.
What was the... When do I...
When to just go off? You're just playing a D chord, man.
Wow, 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 wow. Turns into Edith Bunker.
He doesn't know what an acoustic guitar is at all.
Edith Bunker. Or Mrs. Soprano.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Number 20 on this list. And this could be the first unplugged ever. I don't know.
Let me guess. The first Unplugged. The one that got super big was obviously Nirvana.
Yes.
But I don't know if it was the first. Was it the first?
This is before. Because I didn't know that he did an Unplugged.
Oh, was it Eric Clapton?
No.
Ugh.
Oh, God, he is on this list, and I just want to leave it out because he's a douche.
His Unplugged was really big. The version he did of Tears of Heaven during the Unplugged was the one that got really big.
Yep.
Golly, who did the first Unplugged?
Crap. Hold on.
Okay, let me guess.
Okay, go for it.
Not Nirvana.
It's going to be like Don Henley or somebody.
Oh, you would never guess this because I was like, really?
Whoa, hold on. Was it Lou Reed?
Not Lou Reed. No way.
Dude, he had a comeback record called New York, and it had Romeo and Juliet on it, which was a radio.
Is this Bon Jovi? Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi had a... No, that's not Bon Jovi. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Wow, he did an Unplugged.
That's what it says.
Man, I bet that was a butthole.
But yeah, they're actually coming back next year, and Bon Jovi's actually doing Plugged.
His acoustic performance helped set the stage for the Unplugged series.
Tails on the end of them.
Yeah. What?
Do you want to repeat that? Because I totally missed it. I think it was a good joke.
Nah, it's all right. Just let it sit.
Let it sit. It's not a fart.
You can go to the next one.
Don't let that's 20. Sit.
You want to do 21?
It's pretty stupid, so yeah, we can.
Yeah, knock it out.
Christina Applegate dumps Brad Pitt for Sebastian Bach.
On MTV?
I'm not sure why this made the list, but...
Hold on a second.
Boy, she was about as hot as it got for 7-year-old me.
What year is that?
1989 still.
I guess 1-year-old me.
A lot happened at the 89 MTV Video Music Awards.
So, I can't fathom.
She showed up to the awards show with Sebastian Bach.
Okay, hold on a second. I don't think Brad Pitt was a thing in 1989, was he? I thought...
No. She showed up to this with Brad Pitt, someone no one had ever heard of.
Yeah, because he didn't become a thing until Thelma and Louise.
And then later on, she ditched him.
Okay.
And went for Sebastian Bach.
What year was Thelma and Louise?
Career move.
Right.
I mean, she ended up doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have stayed with her.
Thelma and Louise?
Is that 93?
Oh, I thought it was 80s.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody's got a computer, right?
I'll look it up.
I'm not going to let Russ and the Russ Martin show come on until we know what time Thelma and Louise was.
91.
91.
Okay.
Wow.
More on that next.
Coming up next, Chloe, Alfie, and Dan discuss Thelma and Louise from 1991 and what it meant to Brad Pitt. And they're going to do it for 2 hours right here on the Mighty Eagle.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.